Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God.
Just felt like this was the right morning to wear this. Just want some people in the room just to enjoy it for a moment. It's Jersey Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday is tonight. Some people have asked, Chad, why'd you put in a counter service on Super Bowl Sunday? I'm letting you know that Super Bowl normally is last weekend. Not my fault the NFL changed their plans. And so tonight we're going to worship here together. And for those that don't know, Ottawa, who, I'll be honest, is having a horrible year. But we beat the Leafs last night. And I believe the NHL is releasing a press release this morning to especially Toronto, to let them know that slap shots are allowed in the NHL. So, this series, we are looking at the Gospel of John. I'm moving on before Leaf fans get too upset. Probably the most amens I'm going to get. So we're looking at the Gospel of John. We want to dive into it a little bit deeper for you, just so there's a bit of an understanding. What we have to realize is so many times when we look at the Gospels and we look at church stuff, like encouraging new Christians on where to start in the Bible, so many of us say, you know what, start in the book of John. And one of the reasons we say that is all the other Gospels talk about Jesus and his ministry, but John wrote his book so that we got to know the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote it. Because see, what you have to understand is, it was the last gospel written. The first three gospels were written before 70 AD. And then John wrote his after 85 AD. So it's at least 15 years after all the other gospels were written, John sits down and writes this one. And so he doesn't sit down to write it because he thinks other people have done stuff wrong, but he wants to show us who Jesus was and that he was the Son of God. See, Matthew's gospel, it depicts Jesus as the son of Abraham. And then we look at Mark, and he depicts Jesus, you'll see him called the Son of Man. And then in Luke, you'll see Jesus called the Son of Adam. So John wants to write and remind all of us that Jesus is the Son of God. He was our Savior that came here. At least nine times in the Gospel of John, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. So he wanted to remind us, he wanted to do like an x-ray of who Jesus was as a person, as a person. In chapter 1, we talks about the role of John the Baptist. and his role in Jesus' life. John the Baptist is one of the most important people in the New Testament. The amount of times that he is mentioned to compare to other people. John the Baptist is mentioned at least 89 times in Scripture in the New Testament. And he's one of only six people in the book of John who gave witness to Jesus as God. He had a special assignment, though. He came to introduce Jesus as a Messiah to Israel. He introduced Jesus to the nation of Israel, but he had the difficult task, he had the privilege of introducing him, but he had also the difficult task of convincing them that this was the Messiah. And so John the Baptist's life is so important to the Israelites and to us today. And so John came into the picture, John the Baptist, and he called Israelites, he called people to repent of their sins and to prove the repentance by being baptized in water. That's why when we baptize people in water, it's our outward expression that we've decided to follow Jesus Christ. It's how we tell everybody else. Now, what we have to realize is when you read through the Gospels, this is where we already talked many times this morning about tradition. But in the Gospels, people accepted Jesus Christ, they got baptized in water, and many times got baptized in the Holy Spirit, all within, I'll say 2 hours, probably 20 minutes. It was like, who wants to accept Jesus Christ? You do? Good. There's water over here. Let's baptize. And so, yes, we do a baptism class. If you've ever taken it, you'll hear me say right in the class, we do this, but it actually prolongs what Scripture actually shows is supposed to be fairly close together. It's tradition. We look for all of these things, all these certificates, to see if you are enough of a believer. No wonder many of us struggle if we're enough of a believer. Realize you see the disciples throughout the Scriptures explain Jesus Christ to people, and they believe. We don't even know how that works. It just says they believed. I don't know if they said a sinner's prayer. I just don't know if that's something, again, we just made up. And then they literally have stopped chariots on the road. So you're witnessing to your coworker, you're driving down the road, and they accept Jesus Christ, and you pull over because there's a pond. That's New Testament. Do you realize how much restraint we as humans have put on your relationship with Jesus Christ? Again, hear me, well-intended, nothing ill about it, but this is the way it's supposed to work. And that's why when you have a new faith and a new understanding, you're so open to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you haven't sat in church long enough to go, I think some of this stuff is weird. You just hear this loving Jesus who came and died for you. Will you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Yeah. You want to be baptized? Is that what I'm supposed to do next? Yes. Okay. We should fill you with the Holy Spirit so you have power to walk out this walk with God. Absolutely, because I don't know what I'm doing. Fill me. See how simple it is? John comes back to the basics. And John baptizes people to repentance. So we're going to pick up from last week in John chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 19. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege and honor to stand and share your word. I ask you, Father, this morning, behind me, behind the cross, let your words be my words. Speak through me today. Lord, I pray that we leave here encouraged because of the words that John has written down. That today we leave a little bit more knowing who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about who are you? Who are you? Who are you? See, so many times in our walk, people describe other people. If I showed you a picture of different celebrities on the screen, you would tell me who they are by what they do. And see, here's the understanding where we just almost need to start this morning, that we have such an identity in a false self. A false self. A false self is an identity in what we do, what we have, and where we live. What we do, what you have, and where you stay. And if you think about it, men, how do we introduce ourselves? We introduce our names, and then what's one of the first questions we ask? What do you do? What do you do? Because with you tell me what you do, I can measure our standard between the two of us by a worldly standard. Do I feel like I'm better than you? Do I feel like I'm less than you? And most likely, if you tell me what you do, I'll be able to figure out who has more. How twisted is that? One of the worst places to go for this to happen is a pastor's conference. I'm being honest. Because here's what we ask each other at pastor's conferences. We ask the question of, hey, so good to see you. How's your church doing? Do you want to know what I'm asking? I don't care how the Spirit's moving. I don't care what your Sunday morning services are like. What I want to know is how big is your budget and how many butts are in the seats on a Sunday morning. That's what they're asking. I've worked really hard to begin to ask my friends when I see them at conference, when I see them different places, hey, it's so good to see you. How's your family? How's your family? I don't get it right all the time. But what if our identity switched? What if we found who we are in a different way? See, when we look in 1 John and we look at reading the verses in chapter 1, verse 19 to 28, we see people asking John the Baptist who he is. They're not sure what to do with this guy. Realize he wears camel fur as clothing and he eats locusts that he dips in honey. I don't know about all the guys that are doing Super Bowl stuff, but that's like a great appetizer. You just have to get the right type of honey. It's my understanding. So they're asking him, who are you? They ask him if he's the Messiah, and he says, I am not the Messiah. He knows I am not the Messiah. But then there's something weird. They ask him if he's Elijah. If he's Elijah. Now see, what you have to understand, if you're reading that and you're like, okay, I understand why they're asking if he's the Messiah, because the Messiah is supposed to come and save them. Why in the world are they asking him if he's Elijah? Well, if you jump back in your Bibles to the Old Testament and look at Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says this, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." So as they see, like, okay, we're waiting for the Messiah. Who is this guy? Maybe it's Elijah. This is why they ask him, are you Elijah? Now, John the Baptist denies being the Messiah. He denies being Elijah. But here's the interesting thing. If you look in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, it's a moment that they call Transfiguration, and it's where Jesus took Peter and James and John, and they went on a high mountain where Jesus all of a sudden transfigured in front of them, and Jesus' face began to shine like the sun. It says his clothes were like bright white. And all of a sudden, right there appears Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And then they come down off the mountain, and Jesus tells the three disciples, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has raised from the dead. So the three of them come back, And I'm sure the other disciples are like, what happened up there? And they're like, nothing. You mean you guys went up to the top of the mountain and nothing happened? Nothing. Sounds like you asked your kid, hey, how was school? Good. What happened? Nothing. You know the other disciples are not okay with the answer, nothing. Like, no, something happened. Like, I don't know, did they see the glow of light? Could they see it from farther down? Listen, we saw a glow. Oh, Jesus was showing us a new flashlight. Something happened up there. But the interesting thing is just a few verses later, the disciples ask him, in Matthew 17, 10 to 13, the disciples ask him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things, but I tell you, Elijah's already come. And they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished, in the same way the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood he was talking to them about John the Baptist. What? So John the Baptist says, I'm not Elijah. Here, Jesus says Elijah already came. So, many theologians believe that John the Baptist was not Elijah, but Jesus sounds like he was John, he was Elijah in spirit. So now there's two sides of this, okay? So there's two sides. One side, people believe that Elijah will be the one of the two witnesses described in Revelation 11. That's what they believe. Elijah's still to come. He's in Revelation 11. Others believe that Malachi's prophecy was already fulfilled with John the Baptist. Neither one for me is a salvation issue, so you guys can wrestle with it and have fun with it. Again, it's not a discussion or an argument worth losing friends over, but it's a good thing to study and find out and dive in deeper. Chad, what do you believe? I ain't telling you. Because it's not worth debating over. It's one of those things that's just interesting. As you read through the scripture, you're like, man, what does this mean? Where does it leave us? Two sides. He either already came or he's going to be one of the ones in Revelation 11. God bless you. So who is John for sure? Who is John for sure? Well, one of the things we know that John is Jesus' cousin. He's Jesus' cousin. Now, it doesn't say anything really in scripture about him as he was sent to talk about Jesus, but John's thing was that Jesus is the Word. We heard about this last week. Jesus is the Word. John was but a voice. John was but a voice. Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says this, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So John is fulfilling this prophecy for sure. John understood his assignment. He understood the assignment that Jesus is the Word, John is the voice. What you have to understand and remind yourselves is the Word can be seen. We see words. A voice is not seen. A voice is just heard. A voice is just heard. See, John understood his role to prepare Israel for their Messiah. It was all about Jesus. It wasn't about John. And that's why John's response at one time, and we'll get to it later, but John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist understood, my role is to make people look to Jesus. Don't look at me, I'm but a voice. I'm just a voice. This is a lesson that so many of us have to learn and understand. See, our lives are like John the Baptist. We've been called to show people Jesus. You want to know what your purpose is? You're to show people Jesus. You're to show them what Jesus is like. We're called to be a voice here on earth to share his love. It's all about Jesus. Your prayer, my prayer, every day should be, help me to decrease so that Jesus can increase. That's your prayer. Every day, if you're like me, you maybe need to pray it every moment. Lord, help me to decrease that you can increase. That it's not about me. See, when we have our identity, when we have our understanding, our purpose is very clear. Our purpose is simple. See, Jesus gets his identity before he starts ministry. And he hears these words, "This is my son. This is my son." As we continue to read in chapter 1, we see that John is recording, John the Baptist testifying about who Jesus is. John's there baptizing people and sharing, and he sees Jesus coming towards him. And in verse 29, we see him say to the crowd, "Look, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He declares, there's your Messiah, the Lamb of God. He's right there. He goes on and he says, John says, "The one that comes after me, the one that will surpass me because he was before me." Understand something. John is telling everybody, this one that's coming, he will surpass me because he was before me. Now see, what you have to remember is when Jesus' mom, Mary, showed up at Elizabeth's house, which is John the Baptist's mom, John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and Scripture tells us that he leapt. The Spirit leapt. Now, what you have to realize, you can see this in Luke 1, verse 36. At this point, it tells us that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. So John is older than Jesus. But yet John is testifying, he will surpass me because he was before me. And this is where we talked about last week, where Jesus was here in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John is testifying, there is the Lamb of God. He will be here after me because he was here before me. He's been here forever. From the beginning of time, God has always been here. I'm amazed at myself when I know and I understand that God has always been here, Jesus has always been here, but somehow at the age of 43, there's times in my life where I still think I know better. I know more than God. So many of us, if you're a parent, if you're an aunt, you're an uncle, if you've seen kids, at some point, all of us, so you can point at yourself, don't point at your kids because you did the same thing. We all stood before our parents and went, "Yes, I know." No, you don't. That's God's response to us, no matter what age we are. "Yes, God, I know." No, you don't. You've proven it time and time again. When will you realize that I know more? God has been here from the beginning. You can trust him. You can trust him in all areas. See, John knew that Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived. He knew that he had showed up. We see in John 1, verse 32, 34, it says, "Then John gave this testimony." So in the book of John, he's giving a testimony. In the other ones, it kind of talks as if it's happening in the moment. John gives this testimony afterwards. He says, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The men whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Now we've read in Matthew the same timeline. In Matthew 3, verse 16, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. After his baptism, Jesus began his ministry. Knowing your identity will launch you into your calling. Knowing your identity in Christ will launch you into your calling. It will launch you into your purpose. Many of you are hesitant to step out from God because your identity is in other things. When you begin to understand who Jesus Christ says you are, it changes. See, John the Baptist knew his calling. He was a voice. Jesus is the Son of God. Simon became Peter, the rock. When Jesus gives you your identity, it changes you. So we go back to the first question this morning. Who are you? Who are you? Your identity, my identity in Christ, is something that you need to know. But more importantly, it's something that you need to believe. You need to believe who you are in Jesus Christ. It'll equip you, it will empower you. See, when I ask you who you are, you should say, I'm a child of God. That's who you are. I am a son of God. I am a man of God. I have been called by him. I've been set apart by him. He equips me. He gives me the words to speak. He gives me the power to do what he needs me to do. He gives me the strength and the boldness to do it. And my only responsibility is to be obedient to him. That's my responsibility. To obey Jesus Christ. That's my responsibility. Some of you might be sitting here and your human minds would be like, well, no, Chad, you have to go to work. No, God asked me to go to work. So I'm being obedient to him. Well, Chad, you have to be a father. No, Jesus told me to be a father. Everything I do is in obedience to the Father. The same with you. See, too many of you, when we say something like that from here, you think, well, that's because you're a pastor. You immediately go to what I do, not because of who I am. I can walk off this platform today and go work any other job and it won't change who I am. This platform does not identify me. With or without it, I know who I am. Who are you this morning? What is your identity? Here is some of the things that you can identify with. Your identity. You are beloved. Jeremiah 31:3. You are a saint. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You're a child of God. 1 John 3:1. You've been set apart. 1 Peter 2:9. You're delighted in. Zephaniah 3:17. You're an ambassador of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Many of you are writing notes, and I think it's fantastic, but I'll tell you to stop because I have them in a handout for you at the end. So just hear them. I see everybody writing, and I'm like, just hear them. I love the fact that you're writing, but I have them in a handout. I love the fact that you're taking notes, but save your hands. You are forgiven, 1 Peter 2:24. You are a sweet aroma. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Even junior high boys, you are a sweet aroma. All the junior high boys in the room, I apologize. I love you dearly. You are washed and clean. Isaiah 1:18. You're never alone. Deuteronomy 31:8. You are free. Galatians 5:1. You are a masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are wonderfully made. Psalms 139:14. You are adopted into God's family. Romans 8:15. You are bold. 2 Corinthians 3:12. You are co-heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. You are guaranteed victory. Psalms 18:35. You are righteous. I didn't make them all onto that slide. It's a good thing I have a handout for you. So this is how human I am. The rest of these are just on the page below. I just didn't slide long enough. They're all in the handout. You are co-heirs with Christ. You are guaranteed victory, Psalms 18:35. You are righteous, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You have a secure future, Jeremiah 29:11. You are whole in Christ, Colossians 2:10. You are new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's leave that slide up for a bit, the last one with all of them on it, except the last few. Can I get everybody to stand? Prayer team, will you come? As the prayer team comes, this year our word is new. For some of you, I believe you need a new identity. And so we're going to do something here at the church. We don't do it a lot on Sunday mornings, but what I want us to do is we're just going to take a moment. And I want you to look at the screen. I realize my mistake, they're not all up there. But I'm going to read off the last six again, because I believe you can remember six. We're co-heirs with Christ, guaranteed victory. We're righteous. We have a secure future. You're whole in Christ, and you're new. I want us to take just a minute. We're going to ask Holy Spirit what identity he wants to speak into your life this year. And I believe he's going to speak one of these to you. Prayer team, I want you to absorb this as well. So I don't know if you can see the back TV or not, but if you turn and look at the screens. And as we pray, I want Holy Spirit to give you one. And I believe he's going to give you one. And that's all you have to hold on to this year. You take the scripture verse beside it and you memorize it. And you imprint it on your heart. And you walk around knowing your identity in Christ. Now, I encourage you, they're all your identity. But I believe God wants to speak one of them specifically into your heart today. And so, Holy Spirit, what is my new identity for this year? So here's how we're going to close. I believe God speaks quickly. I believe he speaks clearly. So I believe each one of you have an identity. If you're sitting here like, Chad, I'm not sure if I heard him. As you look at the list or I read them out, which one made you go, yeah? That's Holy Spirit. Chad, it can't be that simple. It is. When something stands out to you, reading the scriptures, you know God is speaking to you. So take that one. Here's what I want us to do this morning. We're going to say this together. All we're going to say is, I am, and then you say the identity that Christ has given you. So the first two should be together. The next ones could be all over the place. All right? But you're declaring out loud who you are. It's powerful. Okay? So together, I am. I am. One more time. Let's say I am together and then say the last one. We can do this. I believe in you. Ready? One, two, three. I am. So, Father, I thank you for how you've called us and how you've identified us. Lord, I thank you for your love and your patience with us. Thank you for your strength. Lord, I thank you that we truly find our identity in you. And Lord, I just pray today that every person leaves here with a new identity in you. Yes, Lord, we are salt and light. We are the ones who bring you to this world. So Lord, we know that we must decrease and you must increase. So let us be your voice to lead people to you. Father, I pray people leave here encouraged today because of their identity and who you are in them, which changes their identity and who they are in you. And so, Father, give us wisdom and courage. Give us boldness. And let us walk out of here as children of God, called by you, set apart, because we know who we are standing in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's people at the front that are here to pray with you. Go and receive encouragement. And we'll see you tonight at 6:30 for our encounter service.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. That it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.